Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 427. And we realized probably a couple hours before we were going to record, we won't have a Night Vale episode until tomorrow, and that's a little late in the week for us to record a recap.
Yeah, it's cutting a little close for a full episode, I would think.
Yeah. So instead, we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff that we've been watching, but we wanted to start out with the return of something that has been a fan favorite and needed to come back a long time before now. It's time for the weekly
Cinerab
with beers.
Yay. Pop. There we go. Well, that wasn't very special.
What you drinking?
Lambic, the Raspberry Lambic. Nice. And I get this like maybe once a year. And it's every once a year that I get to use this nice Pilsner glass that I bought at IKEA.
Oh, very nice. I am drinking Stone IPA to the surprise of no one. I'll tell you what, though. I haven't been drinking IPAs when I go out with my friends lately because they're always starting at like 6.9 up to like 7.5 or 8.0 ABV. And it's kind of fun when you go out with your friends to get multiple drinks. And you can't do that when it's that strong. I've gone back when I'm out with my friends to drinking Guinness.
Oh, how nice. Yes, they are. Yes, yeah. They're an acceptable level of alcohol, I think. And they're also they're heavy enough that you don't end up drinking a lot of them.
Yes. I want to say they're honestly like a 4.5. Like, they're surprisingly low when you hear for all the fuss about Guinness to find out that they're not really a very strong beer. They're just more of a tasty beer.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll start out with nice news. Nice for me, anyway. I have a job!
Yay! That was fast. Ooh. That was really fast. Yeah. I mean, I knew you were going to be able to find something because you got all the graphic design experience for newspapers, but that was still really fortuitous, I think.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I had somebody ask me, it's like, oh, finding a job so fast, do you have any tips for people looking for work? And I think the first tip would be to not listen to a word I say. I got the job because there was a supervisor that I worked with at the old paper for over 10 years. They moved to a new paper, found out I was looking for work, and they got me the interview at the paper. Like, I was signed up for the interview before I'd sent anybody my resume, and that's just not how it usually goes. That was just a lot of luck and pretty amazing and cool. So I don't know. I mean, I felt like any tips that I could give people are like, you got the job because you knew somebody. And I'm like, well, yes, but, you know, that would probably be my biggest tip is that you have to reach out to your connections. And if you're not looking for work right now, I think you should still like reach out to people who you've worked with in the past and they're working someplace different and be like, hey, does your company ever employ A, B, and C? What type of things are they looking for? Because even though I had a whole year to know that I was going to be looking for work, I still found out I really didn't know what I was in for until I actually really started applying. And then I knew what are people looking for and what things have I heard that are not true. For instance, your resume does not have to be one page, okay? Anybody who says that is probably pretty old school. It's back in the days when a real person was looking at every resume. I mean, these jobs, they're getting like 1,000 applicants. They have a robot scan it ahead of time to match it up with what they're looking for. And maybe they're only going to look at the top 100 resumes. Maybe they'll only look at the top 50. So yeah, it's not, your resume does not have to be just one page. I know that much, but yeah, I'm really super grateful. I just really didn't like not having any work.
Well, knowing people, I think there's more to that than you're thinking here. People who know that you're the kind of person they can trust, who's not going to start drama in the workforce and is going to show up on time and isn't going to just like declare a sick day and not tell anybody where they're going. I mean, unless you're taking a nap after several beers in the afternoon and everyone's wondering if you've been eaten by your cat. Sorry, go
that
listen
was
to some of our older
specific thing.
Listen to some of our older episodes, so you'll know what we're talking about there. So, but yeah, just being that's one thing you can do right now is just make sure that people know that you're reliable because it is such a stress reliever to ask for help from somebody and have them either help you or be able to say, well, I don't know the answer to that question, but I think I can help you find somebody who can. Just never try to avoid saying, not my problem.
Right. I mean, that's probably good whether you're looking for a job or not looking for a job. But I mean, the job market is definitely crazy right now. And it's the one bad thing about remote work is that you're no longer competing for a job with people who live in your area or are willing to move to your area. You are literally competing with people all over the country, if not the world. So it's tough. And I don't know. I'm going to try and learn from this whole experience. I actually signed up for a class in Google Analytics because I've been seeing a lot of jobs are asking for stuff like that. I'm like, if I have to do this again, I need to be better prepared the second time around. So, but anyway, the job should be really fun. It's doing the same type of stuff that I did at the old job. And I've been designing some covers for their special sections, which is always kind of fun.
Very awesome. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it should be fun. It should be good. Super grateful to the people who hired me. Oh, my God.
And a little bit of a pay bump, I understand.
Just a smidge. Just a little bit more. Yeah. I was, you know, there's plenty of jobs that I saw that were like a 30% increase over what I'd been making before. This is not that. But that's okay. It's a very, it is a very respectable amount. I am happy with it.
So good. It excellent. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that's a weight off your mind.
Oh, boy, is it ever. Man. Oh, holy cow. Okay, so then we've got to move to less fun news. Hurricane Helene came through and is, I mean, it's just, this really puts paid to the idea that a lot of people have been talking about, oh, with climate change, people need to move away from the coasts and people are being irresponsible if you live near the coast. Never mind the fact that for some people that's where they grew up and they don't have the means to move, but also the area where we went to school and the area where I lived for 3 years, Boone and Asheville, has just been, I'm sorry, fucking devastated by this storm, and they are nowhere near the coast.
300 miles at the very closest. They are so far away from the coast. Everyone's talking about the idea, oh, well, they should have prepared. Nothing could prepare for this. There are some small towns that are gone. They got, I mean, all of that rain coming down, and in the mountains, it's worse because people build in the valleys, and all that rain just dumps everywhere and filters down into the valleys. And, I mean, Boone and Asheville are underwater right now, and people are talking about this being biblical, and it's just, it's really scary. In, you know, kind of side news, Nathan and I were with our mom and dad and our little sister in Gatlinburg for the last week because mom has really been needing a vacation, so we got her one. We were probably this close to being in the middle of that mess. I don't know how Gatlinburg managed to not get it because there'd been rain for like more than a week ahead of time. It was like constant rain. All of the rivers were high. And then the hurricane comes through and the ground's saturated and it's just like 7 feet of water in places, like not at the coast. This was not a storm surge. This was just a shit ton of water. And it's horrifying. Yeah. But I mean, the worst we had to deal with was Nathan and I had to take a couple of extra hours to get home because we had to drive north through Virginia because they don't want people going to Western North Carolina right now.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
If you think you want to go in and like help out, unless you're a professional lineman or an emergency worker or something, just don't. We will post links to places where you can donate for relief. But right now they got no infrastructure and no way to take care of anybody. And it's just, it's a mess.
Yeah. We've got a cousin who lives in Asheville and she was posting today and it's really kind of like official word. So I'll make sure to put links to where she got her information from. But I mean, they're going to have to boil water for ages. They finally brought in somebody. I mean, all of the water pipes have been like in places just completely washed out. Dams have been damaged. They were able to go and get water. Everybody got to get 2 gallons of water. Just ask yourself how long 2 gallons of water would last you at this point. I mean, it's just, you're not able to flush any toilets. People are literally walking down to streams to grab water so they can still flush the toilets. That's if the sewage system wasn't incredibly damaged by the storm. And this is if you still have a house, you know, but it's going to take weeks. And these are not like, you know, our cousin is not, she is not an economically vulnerable person. She and her husband make perfectly good money and they are apt there without power, they're without water, they're having to look at, like, are their food supplies going to last and everything? And meanwhile, we've got cops who are keeping, there was like a truck that got overturned that it was carrying water and people kind of converged on it to grab it and the cops were there to scare them away to keep them from stealing. And I'm like, oh, good job. That's great. You know, people are trying to get water.
People trying to get water. What do you think they're going to be selling it on the black market or something? God.
Yeah, and Nathan, so irritating.
Nathan shared a picture with me of a railroad tracks that was like 20 feet up in the air, and it was because the hillside it was on was washed away, and you were just left with the tracks over nothing. I mean, that's the power of the flooding that was happening there. And we got really lucky. Hannah, mom and dad in Sarasota, I think they got a little bit of like yard trash falling from all of the rain, and otherwise they're okay. So this
they're
is
fine.
Good. But Hannah also shared a post on Facebook for someone who is collecting supplies for people who were on the coast whose houses or boats or whatever have been damaged. And like there's boats that are sideways in the bay right about now. And some people live there. That's their home.
Yeah, piled on top of each other. It's just, ugh, it's I mean, everybody feels like, you know, we have all this advance warning for hurricanes and everything, but that just doesn't stop unpredictable things from happening. And you really do kind of have to, like, help out where you can. If you're not part of all of this, you need to try and help, because you never know when it could be you. And you want people to continue having this culture of, like, we're a community. We got to help each other out. So and it's, do what you can.
It's going to be really important going forward, because I think what this is teaching us is that no place is safe from being damaged in a storm. And if you don't believe in climate change, well, I'm sorry, but this sort of thing doesn't happen except for the fact that it's now happening. So
Lot. I mean, what is it, the 100-year storms are now happening like every other year?
I helped crazy. With I can't remember if it was Matthew or Florence that came first, but I was helping with a group that was, you know, helping people to tear out the drywall in their houses so that they could rebuild the insides after it got damaged in a hurricane. And like a year and a half later, we were helping people to do it again, because the storm that only hits every 100 years is now coming on a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah. Oh boy, there was somebody on Blue Sky who got dragged because they said something flippant like, you know, look, this is going to be happening, and so people need to, like, buy less stuff and have less stuff to move, and you need to move away to save for places and everything. It was like, it came across as so victim blaming, and oh my God, they got pounced on. And it's a shame. I'm not going to list their name, because apparently they are a good person who does good things, but ran their mouth at the wrong time, and now they're getting dogpiled. And honestly, just don't do that. Don't say that, you know? Just like, how about you just shut your mouth and tell people how they can help?
Yes. Please don't second guess what the victims should have done, because I don't care what you're talking about. That never helps.
Nope. Never, never, never. Anyway, enough preaching, enough, you know, anybody listening to this podcast, I think, is probably on our, so we're literally preaching to the choir on this one. So we will, you know, like I said, look in the podcast description. We'll have a bunch of links if you want to help in any, like, either if you're in an area and they are accepting in-person help, or if you want to send money, if you want to send supplies, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can do. Okay. Moving on to nicer things. I actually watched the first episode of the new Time Bandits show.
Wasn't it delightful? I think the parents are not as awful as they are in the original movie, but they're believably not understanding of their child.
No, it's true. And that kid is awfully charming. I mean, he's doing such a great job. And it's also, he's got a great accent. I don't know what type of accent that is, but it's really very cool.
And isn't his name Kal-El, like Superman?
I think so. Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that must be like. I mean, those parents are really, you know, waving their freak flag high and their nerd cred, whatever, but I hope they don't end up regretting that. I hope he doesn't end up regretting that.
Did you hear there's a lot of people who named their daughters Daenerys? And then, of course, the way Game of Thrones ended, and you're like, oh,
God,
no.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, it's cool, but it's also got, it's that Taika Waititi quirkiness. But also at one point when there's like a sort of a travel between dimensions thing, someone kicks something over and walls continue to fall. And it's that kind of like cascading effect. And it was just that specific flavor of slightly disturbing, cool weirdness that I really like.
Yep. But it's so good-hearted. I mean, the main character gets to sit down and talk with Cassandra right before the Battle of Troy, and they're both just bitching about the fact that they know what's going to happen, but nobody believes them. And I love that parallel, because the fact that he knows history and can tell people what's happening, and it's going to be really hard a lot of times for him to convince people that he knows what he's talking about. So yeah, that was cute.
That was very cute. And I also like how they depicted her. Like, obviously Cassandra is a tragic character because she got cursed with being able to tell the future and no one will believe her. But she's actually just a little more pissed off than she is sad about it. Yeah. You know, she's like, God, no one listens to me. But she also accepts that is the curse. In some ways, she just knows, yeah, this is what's going to happen. So what are you going
to
do?
And also that she told him that they'd see each other again. So I think that we'll get to see her again. So that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Now, I understand you watched another episode of Star Trek Lower Decks.
Oh, I watched two episodes of Star Trek Lower Decks this evening. And that was on top of one that I watched before I went on vacation.
Nice.
It's so fun. And there was something I was wondering. Is anyone who was on the BoJack Horseman TV show working on the animation for this one?
Oh, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, because I did notice at one point, and I can't remember, I'll have to go back and look at it, that shift between the B-team animators and the A-team animators.
Exactly what I was going to bring up, because the animation is so fun, but just every once in a while, there'll be a little flourish, like in the one with Ensign Mariner meeting up with one of her old college buddies who's now a captain. And she's not really doing too well, and her friend realizes it's because she's taking a dive and trying to keep her friend from offering her a higher position, because Mariner doesn't want to get promoted. She just wants to stay in her comfortable ensign role. Well, her friend was like fussing about this, and Mariner walks forward and she just like, she makes this sigh, but she's like moving her mouth like, oh, like that as she's doing it. And most places would just skip from A to B on the expressions, but I love when they add stuff like that.
Yeah, I absolutely saw that in a recent episode. There was just a moment where somebody did something with a pose or emotion or whatever, and I went, oh, a tiny bit of a little extra effort on that one. That was very cool.
Yeah, so, there was the episode where Boimler has a girlfriend and Mariner is absolutely convinced that there's no possible way this works in reality. It must be some kind of alien replicant or something. So she's like messing with everything. And at one point, Boimler just goes up to her and is like, what are you doing? And just the flourish, the way he just like moved his head as he's fussing her out for that. I had to rewind and watch that again. So it's really, it's great at the best of times, but every once in a while, it just gets sublime.
Yeah, it really does. I'm partway through the fourth season now. I'm telling you, man, it's been less than a month and I've already blown through this. The fifth season is premiering on October 24th. It's the final season. They got canceled after that.
Oh my God, I can't believe that. Oh, that's typical.
Yes, we only get into something right before it ends. Why? Oh God. Well, yeah, but at the same time, I mean, it's still, the quality is really good. It is very fun. It can get very silly, but not in like a goofy, embarrassing kind of way. I do think it's a little less madcap than it was in the first season, but still can get crazy sometimes. And just, it's very, and still good-hearted, super good-hearted.
Really enjoying it, yeah. Only other thing, let's see. I'm working my way through Mayor of Kingstown season 3, and I really wish it had reached the levels of season 1 sometimes,
right?
When I had to sit down and watch another episode. But right now we're at the stage where Iris is now working undercover with Constantin, and it's just one of those, oh my God, because Constantin, as far as I could tell, he assassinated Titania because he didn't trust her, because she was loyal to Milo, and then she was loyal to Constantin. So that was enough for him to kill her. So I don't know. I feel like Iris is really wading into trouble, but you're giving me your I'm not going to give spoilers expression.
Not a word. Nope. I'm not going to say anything. Nope.
I'm still enjoying it. It is still a very good show, and I hope that we get a season 4 as well.
Mm. Yeah, and you do agree that it is better than the second season.
I think so, yeah. And unfortunately, I think a big part of it is Diane West. We don't have to see her not being given good enough lines for her character. So now we can just move on to that. And I think the stuff with Bunny is interesting because he's really out of fucks to give. He has decided he's never going back to prison, but also he's not going to let anyone push him around anymore. So the fact that somebody is poisoning the drug supply that he's providing, and now he's doing active shootouts against the Russians, I'm like, oh, this could only end badly.
Yeah. Did they already introduce his cousin?
I don't think so. Not yet.
The person who runs the hair salon.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Her. Yeah. She's, does she like the main character?
It kind of seems like it, right?
Because everybody's messing with him about that, about poking, like, oh, yeah, she wants to see you. And I don't know.
Yeah, because so we haven't seen his secretary very much this season,
not
have
really.
We?
No.
I like her. She's cool. But I always like what she said when we were talking about it. And I said, oh, do you think she likes him? And you're like, I think she has more sense. And I'm like, no, I agree. She does. I think she's, whatever's going on with her life, I think she's got more sense than that. So last thing I wanted to mention, it is now, as of time of this recording, September 30th, so tomorrow we tip over. I know it's technically fall right now, but, you know, when it's October, it's like really fall. We need to get together our horror movie watch list prepared.
Yes. Yeah, I got a whole list on IMDb of horror movies I actually like, and I keep adding to it. Always looking for more. Always happy to get a few more added every year. But I'm not sure. You know, I actually enjoyed X and Max, no, X and Pearl. I've been a little worried about the third movie in the horror trilogy, Maxine, because it was another thing where I got the idea that people weren't happy with the ending, so I'm still not sure about that one. But yeah, it's a good horror trilogy, I think. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks it was a bad movie. I just don't think they really were happy with how they wrapped it up.
Yeah, I would definitely like to watch some new horror movies, but I'm certainly up for a lot of comfort watching. And I kind of think what we ought to do in our project is we need to take your list and we need to make links to all the podcast episodes where we've already talked about them, and figure out which ones we have not talked about on the podcast, and then either have a watch party or talk about them on the episode or whatever. Just because, man, if you want to, we've talked about Paranormal Activity, talked about The Cell. We did a watch party for In the Mouth of Madness. Yep, I mean, we've got like a lot of horror movies covered.
The Thing from Another World. I really like that watch party. Yeah. I read that every once in a while. That was fun.
Yeah, so we'll try and get more horror movie content, because there's something, I don't know. I mean, because I hear about people who like to watch horror movies, like really scary horror movies, and they talk about it being comfort watching. And I remember at one point thinking, oh, I don't understand that. But now I'm like, yeah, I totally do. There's something about watching like a movie that genuinely scares you that is just fun. Yep. It's just really nice.
It's fun, especially if you've seen it a bunch of times, so then you can sit and do crafts and know when to look up at the screen.
Yes, exactly. Last thing before we go, I wanted to mention, I'm friends with someone on Facebook known as Jester Graphics, longtime listener of the show. We actually knew him back in the old podcast, and he actually reached out the other day to, he was just asking us some questions about Lore Olympus and Welcome to Night Vale, and I thought that was nice. But he was really saying some nice stuff about listening to the podcast, and he said that he was listening to episode 425 while he was cleaning up his dad's place, which I'm like, that to me is a really big compliment, because, you know, you put on a podcast to distract you from doing a chore, and I was very happy that we were one of his listening choices. So I just wanted to shout out and say thank you for that. I really appreciate that.
Awesome. It's one of the, now I should we now be saying that we have six listeners instead of talking about all five of you?
I know, yeah, seriously. And we've got, you know, Jester Graphics and then Joshua Keyser, our super fan, and, you know, you're all super fans. Let's just
every
face
one
it.
Of you're all super.
But we really, it's very nice when people reach out to say something. So you're always welcome to reach out to us here on our social medias or leave a review, all the things that podcast people tell you to do. So, you know, that's cool. It's very nice of you. But on that note, I think that will wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. I actually did review the most recent episode of Saga. I said I would do it.
I saw that, and now I have to read that, because I'm wondering about the big reveal at the end and the shocking reveal. So they can do that. They can just really knock your socks off sometimes with just wondering, oh God, they're going there?
Yeah, and this one, the reveal was actually not quite at the end. It was a few pages before the end, but I also thought the final page was just a really nicely composed page. It's like I said in the review, it's not just the art is good, but she designs things so well and composes everything so well. I really like it. Anyway, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So, the episode of Night Vale that is coming out tomorrow, we will review next week, because we don't have to go back and forth with like Lore Olympus like we used to, unfortunately.
Right.
But one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.